Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
We're joined by Lieutenant General Richard Newton, News Nation national security contributor. And good morning, sir. Let's talk about Israel. As you know, there is an international shift in the opinion of what's going on in Israel. And today, President Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, and U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, made an extremely rare visit to Gaza. So will all of this affect the long-term, long-time support the United States has offered Israel?
Well, good morning, Bob. First and foremost, it's a dire situation for what I term the non-militant Gazan citizens inside of Gaza, as you've been reporting, certainly to the point of food starvation and other, you know, necessities of life that the Gazan people have been suffering on. And so I believe what is happening now is a new comprehensive approach and a framework of how I believe the United States and Israel conjoined will now approach Gaza. But I don't believe it's going to have a permanent long-term implication to U.S.-Israel relations, other than what we're seeing now, though, is and reporting by Steve Witkoff, the U.S. Special Envoy to the Mideast, and as you mentioned, Ambassador Huckabee, the U.S. Ambassador to Israel. They're aiming for now a comprehensive framework that to put in place. Rather than going after a partial ceasefire and a partial hostage release, they're looking for no more partial deals, but one whereby it shifts to a framework for the release of all the hostages and the disarmament of Hamas and demilitarize the Gaza Strip, hopefully all in one fell swoop. But the first and foremost issue that Israel is dealing with, the United States and others, is the focus and certainly the dire situation of the Gazan people.
Yeah, an Israeli rights group has labeled the Gaza war a genocide at this point. And I think from the world opinion of Israel back on October 7th to where we are now, there's a world of difference, isn't there?
Well, in terms of what's happening in the information operations space, and you know, I've talked about that at length many times, but again, I think the bottom line, I echo what Senator Lindsey Graham said, if you want the suffering to end, you know, Hamas has to lay down their weapons. There are still 16,000 Hamas terrorists in Gaza. Israel controls about 70% of Gaza, but the whole idea is to lay down their weapons, and I propose that you give the Hamas leadership safe passage out of Gaza. And, you know, Israel is still, you know, fighting for, you know, its own national security here. But what's taken a turn is the plight of the Gazan people are, you know, and certainly, you know, my thoughts go to them and certainly the challenges they face. But it becomes more of an issue now immediately of providing for the relief of the Gazan citizens and then look for a mid to long term solution.
Benjamin Netanyahu recently said there is no famine in Gaza. That seemed to be a bit of a ridiculous statement. Didn't it strike you that way?
It did. And, you know, Frank, I reject that. And I'm, again, for lack of a better term, I admire what Israel's done, certainly since October 7th, and certainly dealings with Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas, for that matter, and the Houthis. They're really, it's a very tough neighborhood, and what they've done is extraordinary. Led by Prime Minister Netanyahu. But I reject that. I think, you know, there are, you know, just the images of alone of children, you know, as President Trump said, you know, in our television sets, that they are obviously they're starving and so forth. In fact, I was on air on News Nation and I was talking this very same issue. The fact is that you've got these video scenes and they're real. Of the plight of the Gazan people, and then to say that there's no humanitarian situation there, there's no starvation, you know, that goes beyond the pale of really anything that anybody would respect those words. But I think that's first and foremost. And what Israel's done is they have put a pause on many of their military operations in many parts of Gaza. That's to get aid to the Gazan people. They've also set up corridors to protect the vehicles to make sure that they get from the portal entry into Gaza to the hands of the Gazan people so they can prevent a dire situation from getting worse.
Other countries, as you know, plan to recognize a Palestinian state. Will President Trump be influenced by that?
I don't think so. In fact, he's been very public, and the administration has really pushed back on that notion. And so you're seeing that in the upcoming UN General Assembly in New York City in the third week or so of September. There may be France indicated that they may put a resolution there. I don't think that's going to really come to pass. I don't think right now is to delve into that, what was a long-term approach by some, certainly in the Palestinian and the Arab world. But that I think I would put that off to the side right now. Resolve the again, what I call the dire situation in Gaza. There's still military operations that need to be conducted. Hamas is still, a potent terrorist organization. Not only threatens Israel, but threatens the 1.9 million or so Gazan citizens that they have for the last several years. That's really the key point right now.
Well, what is Netanyahu's goal now, do you think? You and I have heard the criticism everybody has that Netanyahu is prolonging the war for domestic political reasons. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't believe that's strictly the case. And I think on Thursday, the Israeli government announcements, which really is Netanyahu's announcements, that the government are rather than trying to go for a multiple prong approach to resolving Gaza, they're looking for a what I would call a one and done deal to end the war that followed that brutal attack in October 7th in 23. And frankly, he's watching the polls also. Polls in Israel show the majority of the Israelis want their government to negotiate a single deal to stop the fighting and to free all the hostages. By the way, Hamas walked away from the negotiating table just a couple of days or so ago. There was a two-prong approach in hand that Israel, the United States, the mediators of Egypt and Qatar had agreed to, but Hamas walked away from that. So in order to get a solution here, he has shifted his position with regard to the diplomatic aspect of a deal. I think we're still far away, though, from getting this done. Bottom line here is, again, Israel feels, and Prime Minister Netanyahu feels, that the sovereignty and the security of the nation is still in hand with those terrorists still inside of Gaza. But the other aspect of this is to, one, got to first and foremost get the hostages home, stop the dire situation of those starving people in Gaza.
As you say, ceasefire not even being talked about right now, and the hostages, it's a terrible situation, isn't it?
It is. There are 50 hostages remain. Hamas originally took 255 hostages on October 7th. And let me be clear to our listeners. Hamas took those hostages by design, by part of their war plan, in order to have leverage. At this very moment that we're discussing this morning, Bob, with regard to how they are going to survive all this and to remain a terrorist entity. The fact that they've got...
Whoops, lost the lieutenant general. We have the general back with us. I know you wanted to make one final point. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Bob, good morning. I'm sorry I dropped off there, but I think the bottom line here is first and foremost is... both internal to Israel as well as elsewhere around the world, you've got to address the dire situation of the Gazan people. Secondly, the shift in terms of from Prime Minister Netanyahu's perspective and the pressure he's from the Israeli people and even with his own government is first and foremost to get the Israeli hostages home. That's why Hamas took them in the first place, was to use them as tools and leverage. Should they get in this position where their back's against the wall, that they would use the remaining hostages, and they're 50 right now, only 20 alive, if you will, I hate this term, but as bargaining chips. And the third aspect is we've got to start focusing on what to do next in Gaza, relieve the famine, get other quality of life, and really look to how is Gaza going to be rebuilt.
It's a dire situation, no doubt about that. General Newton, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning.